Good in mind, everybody. We'll get started here on the topic of why Hashem does miracles, and obviously that's a key theme that we keep mentioning throughout Pesach. The 10 different plagues, and then you have all these different opinions. How many miracles exactly happened? Was it just 10 plagues, or was each one really 40? Was each one really 4? And then 200, 250, right? We're getting all involved in how many miracles happened. And the big question is, why are miracles so important? Why did Hashem need to split the sea at all? According to many Rishonim, they basically did a U-turn in the sea. So they came in on one side of the land, went in, and then came out on the other side of the land. They didn't really seem to... same side of the land. Didn't really seem to gain that much, right? Maybe a little bit of shortcut, according to some, because it was, you know, the way that the land was going. They definitely drowned the Mitzrim in the process, so there was a lot that they gained in the process. But if they didn't actually cross over, if they came out on the same side, what was gained by all this? Why did Hashem need to do the miracle in the first place? So let's take a look at the Ramban, and this is a very famous Ramban in Parshas Bo. Yesodos Dik, very fundamental, that every person needs to know. And he says in Parshas Bo, source number one, Ve'ata, Omer Lecha, Klal. I'm going to tell you a very important principle. B'tam mitzvos rabbas, and this connects to the reason of many mitzvos in the Torah. That hine, behold, me'eis hayos avodas gilulim ba'olam, since avodah zarah was initiated in the world, Mimei Enosh, from the days of Enosh, Hechilu Hadeos Lishtabish Be'emuna, people started faltering in their Emuna. And then he says that there's three different types of ways that they faltered in their Emuna, and three different beliefs that were developed of Kfirah, of denying Hashem in some way, shape, or form. So first he goes through step number one, Mehem, there were those, Kofrim Be'ikr, they went against the whole concept of Hashem. The Omrim Kia Olam Kadmon, they said that the world always existed. It's an infinite universe. The world always existed as it was. It never needed a creator. There was no first cause. The world always existed and always will exist. It never needed a creator. Things are as they are. Without any kind of creator. Kachashu ba'Hashem v'yomer lo hu. And he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah of these people who they denied Hashem entirely and they said lo hu, he doesn't exist. Right? That's the first type. Umehem. Then you have the second type of kofrim. Machishim b'yidiyaso, that they go against the yidiyaso hapratis. Right? So they contradict that Hashem has detailed knowledge of the world, that yes, Hashem does exist, but he doesn't have detailed knowledge of the world. He doesn't know what's going on a finite level and on a very detailed level. Right? So this is the second type quoted by David HaMelech in Tehillim, that he says, Eicha yada kel, v'yesh deya ba'olam, that there is deya ba'olam, but Hashem doesn't actually know what I'm doing at this given moment. Right, so Hashem kind of did create the world, but then he's in more of a relaxed state. He's not looking at every little detail that's happening. He doesn't really care. And then number three, each one is a little more nuanced. Umehem sheyodu b'yediyah, that yes, Hashem knows exactly what's going on in this world. He knows exactly what's going on in every one of the cosmos and how the order of the universe is happening. But umachishem be'ashkacha, they deny the hashkacha of Hashem, that Hashem is intimately involved in the world and that he's changing things around. V'yasu Adam kedage hayam, and he made people just like the fish of the sea. Shelo yashkiach hakel bahem, that Hashem doesn't really pay attention to them. He doesn't care, you know, which way they're turning, what they're doing, if they're thriving or not. Ve'enimam onash oschar. They're not going to get rewarded or punished. They're just running on their instincts. And Yomer Azav Hashem Es Haaretz, they say that Hashem has left the world. So Hashem essentially created the world, but he's not involved in any kind of detail. He's not changing moving parts or anything like that. So we have these three different types. One, those who don't believe in Hashem at all. They argue, if you can't hear, touch, see Hashem, how do you know that he exists? This world was infinite, always existed. Was no Big Bang or start of the universe. Everything was as it is, and it'll continue to exist that way. Then you have number two,
so
is those.
So don't they believe in magnetism?
Huh?
These people who can't touch and feel, they don't believe in magnetism, because you can't touch and feel that
Yeah.
inequality, yeah.
Good. So you have other things that you can't touch.
Einstein won the Nobel Prize.
You can't see darkness, you can only see light.
Yeah, exactly.
Darkness doesn't
exist. Yeah.
So there are those. Okay, but you can observe it in some way, right, through some kind of... okay, so then we have the second type, those who believe that... Yeah, yeah, we're getting philosophical here. This is what I wanted. Then you have the second type of people, those who believe he exists. But once he created everything, he left it, he's unaware what's happening, kind of like the pilot of the plane, turns the plane on autopilot and goes watches some movies in the back while the plane's running, right? That's what Hashem did, right? Turn the world on autopilot, and then, you know, he lets it run that way, not involved. And then you have those who believe that Hashem created the world. He knows exactly what's going on, but he doesn't involve himself in actually running it. He doesn't want to interject. He's going to let things run as they are, even though he's aware of everything that's happening. So says the Ramban that a miracle proves that all of these three different types of deniers of Hashem or disbelievers in the totality of Hashem's control over the world, the miracle proves all three of them wrong. How so? Says the Ramban, source number two, "V'kasher yirta Elokim ba'eda o b'yachid," when Hashem wants a specific group of people or an individual, "v'yase imaim mofes," and therefore he does for them a miracle, and a change from the way that he regularly conducts the world and the teva that he set into the world, yisbar lakol, it becomes clear to all, bitul hadeos ha'ila kulam. Now all these three different types of disbelievers, they're all wrong. Ki amofes hanifla, because it's a wondrous miracle, mora sheyesh la'olam eloka mechadsho, it teaches us that there's Hashem, right? And he's constantly renewing the world. So he is involved. He's renewing the world at every given moment. V'yodea u'mashkiach v'yachol. And not only does he know what's happening in the world, right? Disproves the second type. But he's mashkiach v'yachol. He's able to interject and change anything at any given moment, disproving the third type as well. V'kasher yiyeh hamofes ahu nigzar techila mipi navi. And not only that, but when a navi beforehand says that a certain miracle is going to happen, right? So he, even before it happens, he says it's going to happen. So mipi navi yispar mimenu od amitas hanevuah, it teaches us also the truth of nevuah, that Hashem gives divine inspiration to humans as well. Because they're able to prophesize that certain things are going to happen, which are changing from teva, something that you can never guess. That Hashem can actually speak to people. He can be megala his secrets to them. V'tiskayim im zeh haTorah kula, and that upholds that that gives evidence to the Torah entirely. V'lachein yomar, and therefore we can say akasuv v'mofsim leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz. This is why when you look at the psukim in Shemos, it says that Hashem is going to do the miracles, and then there's different levels that it says. First it says that I'm doing the miracles of Dam Tefer Dei. I can't remember exactly which miracle it was. I think it was the first three. It says that in order that Mitzrayim should know that I am Hashem bekerav haaretz, below on the ground, right? What is that coming to teach us? Lahoros al hashkacha, that comes to teach us that Hashem is intimately involved in the world. There's hashkacha. Kilo azav osa lemikrim. Hashem didn't just leave it up to happenstance, leave the world to happenstance. Kedaisam, like those people who believe, Amar. And then furthermore, it says leman teida ki la Hashem haaretz. I'm doing more miracles so that the Mitzrim should know ki Hashem Aretz, that the Aretz belongs to Hashem. What does that come to teach us? Lahoros alachidish. That comes to teach us that not only does Hashem know what's going on b'kerav haaretz, below down in the ground, but he's also la Hashem. It belongs to him, the Aretz, meaning he's constantly being mechadish the world. Ki heim shelo, that the world belongs to him. Shebra me'ayan, he created them from nothing. It also says that so that the people should know that there's nobody like me in the land. That comes to teach us that Hashem is all powerful. He's able to do anything. He has the ability to tweak, change Teva, nature, at any given moment. Shehu shalat bakol. He has full domination, full power over everything. Ein me'akav biyado. There's nothing that can hold him back. There's no Teva that can hold him back. Ki b'kol zeh hayu ha-mitzrim machishim o mistapkim. Because the Mitzrim, they had all these three types of deniers, right? You had Paro, mi Hashem, who is this Hashem? That I should yishma b'kolo, that I should listen to him. He denied Hashem entirely. But then you had other types of deniers as well. These three psukim came to disprove all three types of deniers, and that was the purpose of the 10 plagues and all the miracles that Hashem did. These amazing, great miracles that Hashem performed, Eidim ne'amanim, their trusted testimony. Be'amunas habara uvatara kula, in the truth of Hashem, our belief in Hashem, uvatara kula, and the entire Torah.
So the question arises in my mind. I mean, it's all very well because we've arrived at the conclusion that God exists.
But yeah.
How do we convince the non-believers amongst our own brethren? I mean, I'm not talking about the non-Jews. I'm just talking about the problem with our own brethren.
Yeah.
How do we present it to our brethren who don't believe, and, you know, to make it palatable and
So then you're going to have to use one of the either the Kuzari's ways or Ramchal has kind of a way there. Kuzari's is one of the most famous, that the Torah was given to 3 million people. Nobody else has made that claim. Or you can use the first cause, meaning that the world had to, if you believe that there's a first cause, which now the world does believe by and large in Big Bang, which means that the world had some kind of initial start to it, so then the world couldn't have been infinite, right? So what that means is you have a finite world. Everything finite has to have a creator to it. So it ultimately will have to have an infinite source to creation at some point, right? So to use that kind of called the first cause argument, then there's the watchmaker theory where I forget which one of the Achronim used this one, but the intricacy of the world. Maybe Chovas and Vavos.
Purpose, yeah.
What?
His purpose.
Like, purpose and intrigue. I think the real emunah comes from the heart, really, doesn't it?
Yes.
From the
emotion. So ultimately, you have to.
So we really want to connect to our brethren on an emotional level, don't we? I mean, to really get it in the kishkas and make that transformation and get rid of all the klipot that generations of indoctrination from the non-Jewish philosophies have caused to our brethren.
Yeah.
And they've studied in universities and they've been mixing with all sorts of foreign religions and they've been exposed to these modern trends and all this stuff in the media and this absolute bombardment from all the non-Jewish stuff.
Yes.
To get rid of all that crap is an enormous job.
Yeah.
My take on the frame, which is such a good question, is I look at the micro thing. I think if you, in your circle, you act like you do as a mensch, and you do the mitzvot that you do, and people see you. So seeing is doing, or doing is seeing. And I think you just don't worry about the bigger circle. Just worry about your own smaller circle, and then that sort of maybe expands a bit, whether it's a work circle, or it's in your shul or in your communities. Or your charity work, whatever you do. I mean, it's too big. Seeing that students at Columbia University or Sydney University,
we're not going
to take on that.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it on a small scale. So, like, a lot of them are carving. First of all, you have to pay a full salary of an outreach professional, right, to get out there. Then you need him to go to take the guys on Israel. There has to be some kind of bait, right? He's taking people to Israel, and then when he comes back, then he does 10 shiurim, 10 classes. Part of those are going to be dedicated.
I'm kind of sad you're not doing that.
Yeah, well, I used to do it. Maybe I've convinced a few people about Hashem, along the way. Definitely had those 2 a.m. conversations with people. And then you can make all these different arguments. Watchmaker, first cause. If you really get into first cause, I believe that's like the...
I've heard people say that it's like through the women, really.
Yeah. But this is all for us. Like, now that we have a Masorah that these miracles happened, right? And chain to chain to chain to chain, we can track it down from our grandparents. That's where the Ramban is coming from, right? The Ramban's coming down that now that we know that these miracles happen, so that proves to us on all these different levels, and that's why Hashem did these miracles in the first place, and why we have a mitzvah to keep passing down that these miracles happen to our children. And that's what he's going to get into in the next paragraph, which I believe
I've even heard like in great, you know, smart people talk still about deities.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they use the word gods as in plural, you know, in their, like, for example, I've read some judgments by judges. You know?
Yeah.
And I think, hang on a minute, who says, you know, he's permitted to even say such a thing as if it's an acceptable philosophy out there, that there are still Grecian mythological gods around.
You know? Yeah, yeah, so that's awesome.
I thought we live in a Judeo-Christian society, but these ideas can...
Yeah, they can permeate
even the most intellectual people.
Yeah,
I see the scientific world is more talking about a supreme being, because they see this Big Bang theory, and they also see the expanding universe.
Yeah,
and the fact that you had a Big Bang, which should lead you to chaos, and the chaos normally, you need energy to stop a chaos, and that chaos became order in the universe, so there has to be an intervention of some sort. So
yeah,
they see, they talk about the what is it called, intellectual design, or design by intellect. So there's a hint at I asked a friend of mine who deals in DNA. He said, surely they look at the DNA, the complexity of the DNA. And that
can't be random happenstance.
It can't be random.
Yeah.
It cannot be. He said yes.
Yeah.
Some more of the scientists are talking about God.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. We're just going to get more and more complexities in how the world was created, and it's going to be great. Yeah.
Did Einstein believe in God? He believed in God, didn't he?
Maybe toward the end of his life.
Yeah. He saw. I was just reading yesterday.
He said it smells like that when he looked in the Hubble.
He saw the expanding universe. He saw Hubble. That the universe was
but even with all of this, so the third one doesn't. I mean, even with the Masorah, that we've had these miracles in the past, back in the time of Mitzrayim, we don't have miracles anymore. So, what's to say that Hashem hasn't left the world on
no,
its own at this
no.
point?
He's asking a good question. Maybe back then.
Lots of people say that.
Yeah, because that was part of the promise that he made, that he would never leave the Jewish people. Banimatem and
well, the biggest miracle is we exist.
Yeah,
that's the biggest miracle.
Even after the
even though it's absolutely a miracle, there's no singular thing that you can point to, like you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, that is 100% a miracle. Like even though, you know, we just experienced a miracle with Iran, like people will write it off as being, you know, that's
natural
within
technology.
Teva.
Yeah.
Oh, but you see, there's a reason for that. God doesn't take away your freedom of choice.
True,
and
but
you can still believe in even Pharaoh said it's the wind, let's go in.
Yeah.
he didn't lose his freedom of choice. You see, it's the wind.
I thought he did actually after
after the sixth,
but then
the sixth and on.
Yeah, but then he's running through the streets.
Yeah. According to the Rambam, it depends. According to the Rambam, he lost his free will. According to the Ramban, Hashem was hardening his heart because it would have been so easy by then, right? After getting punished for the sixth time, and it's getting gradually worse and worse, it would have been so easy for him to let out the Jewish people. So Hashem had to add extra layer of resistance to make it that it's not too easy for him, and then he still has Bechira. So according to the Ramban, Hashem was giving Paro Bechira by hardening his heart. According to the Rambam, Hashem was removing his Bechira by hardening his heart, that now he can't have the choice. According to the Rambam, no, he's trying to still make it an even playing field. He had to harden his heart. Otherwise, he would have for sure let the Jewish people out. It would have been too easy.
He still chose his sea, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So he wasn't completely...
Yeah. All right, so let's just finish off with this third source so that we can have some completion over here. Sorry, we're a little bit over time if anybody needs to go. Says the Rambam, Vavur ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yase os umofes b'chol dor le'ene koresh ha'kofer. Because as Reb Gavriel was saying, that Hashem isn't going to do most and miracles in every single generation in front of all of the Risham, all the wicked people, all the people who deny Hashem. So Yitzave Osenu Shenasa Tamed Zikaron. Therefore, Hashem commanded us that we should make within ourselves a constant reminder, ve'os, and a sign, la'sharo'u einenu, that we personally saw, because we can trust our parents and the Masorah that we have, ve'nate kadavar el banenu, will connect the thing, this word down to our children, uvenehem, levenehem, their children to their children, uvenehem, ledor achron, until the very last generation, v'achomer me'od v'inyan hazeh. And it's very strict, this thing, to pass it down to your kids, these miracles, because this attests to what we have against all three of these different types of kofrim. Shechayev karas, we find that your chayev karas, v'achilas chametz, if a person eats chametz, uvazivas ha-pesach, and if a person has no excuse, he's not traveling, or he doesn't, he's not traveling and he's not tameh, so then also he's chayev karas for not bringing a korban pesach. Why? It's very strict the way the Torah deals with somebody who doesn't pass down these miracles to the next generation. We have to write all these things on our hands in the tefillin, between our eyes. Also in the tefillin shel Rosh, we write a zikaron, or a reminder of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the licht of also. We also have to write them on the doorposts, on the mezuzahs. We have to mention it twice a day, morning and nighttime. And Vayomer, we remember it. And Gemara and Bracha says Emes and Vayatzav is a deraisa. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We actually don't paskin like he holds. Kriya Shema is actually derabanan. Emes Vayatzav is deraisa. Ayin Sham. Brachos Chaf Aleph. Mimasha Kasav, Laman Tiskor, Siam Tiskam, Eretz Mitzrayim, Koyime Chayecha, Veshenas, Sukkah, Bechol Shana. Right? As we have all these psukim that say you have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every single day of your life. And we also have to make a Sukkah as well. That's a reminder of when we went out of, also out of Mitzrayim, either the Sukkos Mamish or the Anane Yaakovo, the clouds of glory that Hashem took us out with. Vechin Kol Kayotze Bahen. All these similar mitzvahs that revolve around the Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's such a central theme. Mitzvahs Rabos, Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. We keep mentioning that it's a reminder of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vakol Lios Lanu, and all of this is so that it should be to us. Bechol Hadoros Edus Bemofsim V'Shelo Yishtakhu. It should be an Edus. It should be a testimony in all the miracles of Hashem, so that we should never forget it. Velo Yia Pischon Peh, so that there should be no ability for to open the mouth a kofar, a person who denies Hashem, lahachish emunas alakim, to deny the emuna in Hashem. Ki akone mezuzah bezuz echad, somebody who buys a mezuzah with one zuz. That's a lot more expensive, maybe $100, but okay. V'kava bepischa, and he puts it on his doorpost. V'niskaven be'inyana, and he's mechaven in the right way. Kevar hode bechidosh ha'olam. What he's doing is he's admitting to the fact that Hashem is constantly renewing the universe of Yidiyaso, Habora v'ashkachaso, and Hashem has the ability to change teva, to do what he needs. He's intimately involved in the world at every given moment. The Gam b'nevuah, and also the prophecies that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us, that Treyasar, all the Nevi'im, the Hemin, b'chol pinos ha-Torah, and we trust in all of the deep corners of the Torah. Milvad shehodev shechesed habore gadol me'od. Besides the fact that we're saying that Hashem's chesed, his kindness, goes above and beyond, it's so great, I'll also return it to those who do his will. Shoti anu me also avdos, he took us out of that avdos, the chiris, the freedom. The kavod gadol eschus avoseyem, it was a huge kavod, it was a huge honor that he gave to our forefathers, hachafotzim, b'yira shamo, that desired in the fear of his name. So that's why Yitzias Mitzrayim is such a central theme that we have over and over again. We're putting reminders on our arm, on the doorpost. We're saying it twice daily. He's saying that the reason is because it's meant to implant emuna, and that's ultimately what Pesach is all about, where we have that one-time focus the year where we really hone in. V'gadlta levincha, we teach it down to the next generation, and we make sure to implement it back into ourselves, that emuna, that Hashem is. Not only did he create the world, but he is watching the world. And not only is he watching the world, but he's intimately involved in the world, and he can change things at any given moment.
So that's how we define Hashem.
Shkoyach, shkoyach.
Hashem is the God that took us out of Mitzrayim. That's our definition of God.
Yes, yes.
So when you talk to Muslims or you talk to Christians, do we, in our perspective, say they're worshipping something else?
Yeah.
Because they don't believe
In Yitzias Mitzrayim, right.
Of God in that way. They believe in the God that made Muhammad their prophet,
yeah.
And they believe in the God that made Yeshua, right?
Yeah.
Their prophet. So technically it's a totally different definition.
Yeah, so I mean real Avodas Kochavim is going to be that, meaning you're not believing that Hashem was the creator of the world, it's somebody else.
But you got to